ABC Radio Australia.
Turning to Australia now, where more than 2,000 bags of cover worth more than $100,000 have been seized by Northern Territory Police in the remote First Nations community of Rimanining in Arnhem Land. Cover is illegal in the Northern Territory, and supplying or selling cover carries severe penalties of up to 8 years in prison. Locals say cover is a popular drink in a number of First Nation communities in Arnhem Land, and there has been debate over whether banning the drink is necessary. But concerns over substance abuse has many supporting the law, while others say it's a safer alternative to alcohol. One person advocating for its legalisation is Gione Lotu, the son of Fijian missionaries who was raised in Arnhem Land.
The ban came in during the intervention in 2007. They had to come up with some reason of, you know, cover, alcohol, drugs. So they just chucked cover in with it, not fully understanding what cover was. I mean, it's one of our traditional drinks in Fiji and the Pacific, but we wouldn't. I mean, just the other day, Fiji signed a treaty with Australia about a defence treaty, and the Prime Minister of Australia was drinking cover there. So the question, you know, the question comes back to, Why did they ban it? They didn't understand it, so they thought they'd ban it. The old Methodist missions in northeast and northwest Arnhem Land, there's about 8 communities. They're the only ones that consume kava. And now kava was brought in because it was a choice by, you know, the First Nations people, because it was something to counter the ravages of alcoholism and drugs, especially in the mining towns like Nhulunbuy. In there, I would like to see it legalized, because not for my benefit. I drink kava because, you know, my background is Fijian, you know, with the Pacific Islander. I'd like to see it legalized because the black marketeers that sell it today, they charge exorbitant prices, and yet they can't police it, because every time I go out into a community, they're drinking kava. I think it's time that we brought it up now.
How did it become popular in Arnhem Land, kava?
Okay, I'll give you a very brief background. There was this Fijian community worker. He was an ex-missionary. He's still alive. He lived in Nhulunbuy or Yirrkala. He took a group to Fiji just to see how things happened there, and they saw how people sat around, shared a bowl of kava during a village meeting and things like that. So they wanted that. This was in 1982. So they brought that out, and since then it's grown. But it's kind of gone through the roof since they banned it. Like anything, I don't know why, you know, people haven't kind of realized, hang on, the only way to counter this is to legalize it. And, you know, the demand will kind of fall. I mean, it'll just go according to supply and demand. But it's nothing special, kava itself. Like anything, if you abuse it, you know, it impacts on your health or things, but you don't get drunk in the way that people kind of say alcohol makes you a bit stupid when you drink too much. Kava, in fact, just puts you to sleep.
Substance abuse, yeah, in First Nations communities, how big of a problem is that? And I suppose that was perhaps one of the reasonings behind banning kava, right?
I'll put it to you this way. You can walk into a supermarket in Brisbane and buy kava. Yet, if you try to bring kava into Arnhem Land, you get fined, or you even get put into jail. And that's just because it's done to the First Nations people. Anyone else, like us Pacific Islanders, we can bring in about a maximum of 2 kilos. Because before 2007, we were selling kava here, but you had to be, you know, a registered provider. The only people that benefit are the black marketeers. The people that suffer are the First Nations people. And they're suffering now because of, you know, money that they get in there for their pensions and whatever is used on kava.
Have there been any consultations, whether at a community level or a state level, about kava?
Earlier on, there was some. But and I'm talking to around 2010, 2011. Recently, I think people have just accepted it.
And that was Johnny Lotu, the son of Fijian missionaries, who was born and raised in Arnhem Land. He was speaking to Pacific Beat's Whenau Whanua there.